I want to ask this morning, if you will, take your Bible and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. It might be easier for you, if you're having problems, to between the Old and the New Testament, just go to the end of the Old Testament and turn left. That might be the quickest way to find it. But I want you to find the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. I have been preaching through the Bible in 2021. I've been looking at every Bible book. We began back in January with the book of Genesis, and I've made my way to the book of Habakkuk, which is one of the minor prophets. We are not at the end of the Old Testament, but you can see it from here. And so we're getting closer and closer, but I hope and pray that these messages from God's Word are encouraging you and helping you along the way. And I pray that it'll give you much better understanding of the Word of God. So today I've come to Habakkuk. And when you get into the minor prophets, you get into some books that are rarely read or preached from, and we don't know a lot about them. And so I'm trying to help us to understand a little bit about what some of these books are about. And I will say to you this morning that I probably could not have come to Habakkuk at a better time than I am today. I've given my message a title that's straight out of the Word of God today. It is a title that has six simple words. The just shall live by faith. Would you repeat after that me today? Would you say that with me? The just shall live by faith. It is my prayer that whenever we walk out of these doors here in a little bit, that every one of you will have embedded upon your heart, the just shall live by faith. I want to read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God? And then I'm going to look at every chapter a little bit. Whenever you come to these books that are all just a, you know, one or two or three chapters, it's best to kind of get an overview. It's hard to just pick a verse or a passage and deal with that. So I want to talk a little bit about the whole book so you can get a sense of what it's about. But I did pick this one verse today to read in my text, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Where he says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. There it is. The just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit being present among us today. Thank you for the way you've spoken and encouraged us, moved us by the music that we've heard and participated in this morning. And Father, we ask now that as we look into this book, that your Holy Spirit will look into our hearts. God, we need to hear from you today. We are a desperate people, and these are desperate days, but you're a great God. And God, you can speak to us, and you can help us. And so, God, we ask you to do that today. Lord, in this room today, there are people who come with burdens. There are folks here who are heavy-hearted. There are some who perhaps are fearful about what's going on in our world. So God, today, would you please speak? And I ask, God, that you would do for me that which I do not deserve. And that is, would you use me today to share the truth of this book? For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. I have so much to say this morning that I have been the last hours been trying to figure out how I can whittle this sermon down to get it in this time. Do y'all know what it is to whittle? I'll make sure I'm not speaking over your head this morning. But I'm trying to find some places where I can trim a little bit, but there's so much that I want to say to you today, and I hope that you'll listen carefully to what I have to say. I want to begin with this brief introduction that you've probably heard the story, perhaps the story of Martin Luther. Martin Luther grew up in a religion that was a very works-based religion, if you will. That is, that you had to work your way to heaven. And so he became a monk in 1506. He became a priest in 1507. And yet in his own heart, he still did not have the freedom from the guilt of sin in his life. It didn't matter how much he read, how much he studied, how much he gave, how much he fasted, all the things that he was trying to do to earn his salvation. And he just could not get the peace that he needed in his life. And one day, Martin Luther was reading the book penned by the Apostle Paul called the Book of Romans that you have in your New Testament. And he came to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And this is what Paul said. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And at that moment, Martin Luther began to realize that his salvation was not be found by fasting or by praying or by giving or by doing. Those words resonated in his heart, the just shall live by faith. And there came that time in his life whenever he placed his faith in Jesus Christ. He got up off of his works-based religion. He dusted himself off and he walked away from that church, and he took the gospel and began to preach the gospel, and the Protestant Reformation began. Now, you may know that story, but what you may not know is that whenever Paul wrote in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith, he was actually quoting something that had been said a long time ago by this man named Habakkuk. We don't know a lot about him. His name is only mentioned twice in the Bible. It's a rather unusual name, Habakkuk. But it's found in chapter 1, verse 1. It's found in chapter 3, verse 1. His name actually means one who embraces. I think that's a significant name because early on in his writing, it's like he's not embracing what God is wanting to do in his life. But when you come to chapter 3, I think he has embraced what God is wanting to say and do in his life. He's a man who is a great Old Testament writer. He was sometimes been called the Doubting Thomas of the Old Testament. He asked questions like, how long, God, are you going to do these things? So I want us to look at his text today, or as his book. And really, when you read his book, it's not so much like he's speaking for God to the people. It's more like he's having a dialogue back and forth with God, which makes it a little bit unusual. But I want to talk to you today about three things from these three chapters in the book of Habakkuk. I want to talk to you, first of all, about the burden of faith. And then I want to talk to you about the basis of faith. And finally, I want to talk to you about the blessing of faith. And it is my prayer today that God will use these words for this day to encourage all of us. And I want to go back to chapter 1. If you still have your Bible there, I encourage you to keep it open. I'll be referring to some things that are there. And I want to talk to you about what I call the burden of faith. I call it the burden of faith because Habakkuk begins his book by saying, chapter 1, verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. I don't think I need to describe to you today what a burden is, but a burden there is a Hebrew word that really means a heavy load. As a matter of fact, you may recall that in the book of Nahum, that Nahum also begins his book with that same word. He talks about the burden of Nineveh. It is talking about a heavy load. It is a word that's describing a load that is being carried by a man or perhaps an animal or perhaps a cart, but it's a burden. A burden is something that you carry on your heart. Some of you know what a burden is today, do you not? There are some who walked into this building today and you have a burden on your heart. There is something that's weighing heavy upon your heart. It may be the obvious elephant in the room today, this thing called COVID, and how it is taking lives, and that becomes a burden to us. It may be a financial burden, maybe through all that's been going on, maybe the income is not what it used to be, and so you come in with that burden. It may be a spiritual burden. You may have a loved one or a friend who does not know Jesus, and you carry a heavy burden for them. And so all across this room and watching online today, there are people who understand exactly what it means to have a burden, because you have a burden today. I would encourage you to do what Habakkuk did. That's why we have this book in the Bible called Habakkuk, because Habakkuk took his burden to the Lord. That's where he took it. You remember that old song that says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer." But do you remember this verse? "Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer." And so Habakkuk begins with a burden, and he tells us what his burden it is, and it's all found here in chapter 1. And let me share quickly what is a source of his burden. Number one, the problems of Habakkuk. And there are several of them that are on his heart. There are several things that are disturbing him. Number one is the problem of unanswered prayer. He begins there and says, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee." You hear what he's saying. "Lord, I've been praying about this. How long do I have to keep praying and you don't hear?" He uses the word cry. It's interesting to me that whenever you read that word in your text, the word cry is found twice in chapter 1, but it's also, although it's found twice in the English, those are two different Hebrew words. The first cry is a word that means to cry for help. The second cry means to scream with a loud voice. I hope you understand what he's saying. He said, "I cried out for help, but it's like I didn't get an answer, so I yelled. I screamed for some help." And he had a question. He said, "God, how long? How long am I going to keep praying, and you do not answer my prayer. So that's the first problem, was the unanswered prayer. The other problem is found in verse 3. That one's found in verse 2. But in verse 3 is also the problem of unending peril. That is, everywhere around him, he sees problems. He says, "Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention." I just looked at all those words: iniquity, grievance, spoiling, violence, strife, contingency. He said, everywhere around me, I see unending peril. The contemporary English translation reads like this: "Why do you make me watch such terrible injustice? Why do you allow violence, lawlessness, crime, and cruelty to spread everywhere?" That is, why, with all that's going on, why do I have to see all this? Why do you allow all of this? It's almost like Habakkuk has been sitting down in your living room, or mine has been watching the evening news. Why do I have to sit? Why is all this violence? Why is all this peril going on? Everywhere he looked, there's nothing but danger and difficulty. And then the other problem is found in verse 4, and that is the problem of unholy people. And whenever you read verse 4, he says in verse 4, "Therefore, because of all this," he said, "law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." He said, everywhere I look, I see unholy people. Whenever the law of God is slacked and people have gone away from the law of God, now you have all kinds of unholiness. And so they're ungodly people, unholy people. Everywhere I look, there's crookedness. You cannot go to the court system and get a fair trial. Even the judges are crooked, because everybody's turned against the law of God. By the way, have you noticed what has happened in our country whenever we turned away from the Word of God? All kinds of lawlessness, crookedness. And so you hear a man with a burdened heart. Just hear this. He's a burdened prophet, and he's crying out to God. He's saying, "God, I've been calling on your name. Lift this burden. I look all around. I see all these things going on. God, how long? Please answer my prayer." So that's, first of all, what I call the problems of Habakkuk. Next thing, picking up in verse 5, you have what I call the plan of God. His plan is found there in verses 5 through 6. You know, the Bible says in verse 5 that God answered the cry of Habakkuk, and God said, "I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." And I think probably Habakkuk's saying, finally, God says something. Finally, God's going to do something. Finally, revival is going to be on the way. No. Look at verse 6. God says, I will raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. You hear what God said? God said, Habakkuk, I'm going to answer your prayer. Revival's not coming. Ruin is coming. I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans. He said that the Chaldeans are the Babylonians. The Babylonians are worse sinners than the Israelites are. God said, I'm going to raise up this ungodly, unholy people, and they're going to come, and they're going to destroy your land. Well, that's not the answer he was wanting at all. And so he was saying, God is saying judgment is going to come. So it's I call that an unbelievable plan. But when you pick up in verse 7, it's an unstoppable plan, because what God says is going to happen. Whenever you read verses 7 through 11, I think at least 13 times I counted the word shall. That is, these are things that are not, might happen, possibly happen, they are going to happen. He said it's going to be a terrible and dreadful day. The Babylonians are going to come. He says in that text that their horses are faster than leopards. He said their horsemen, they'll swoop down like eagles. He said that he's going to send a mighty rushing wind that's going to blow through the people, and the Babylonians are going to judge the nation of Israel. That doesn't seem to make sense, does it? The Israelites are having their own problems, and here's the prophet who's praying for revival, and God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the Babylonians, and they're going to destroy you. Which brings me to what I call the protest of Habakkuk. I'm still in chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. He begins to protest, and you know what he says? He says things like this. He said, the Babylonians, well, they're impure people. The first question was, God, why don't you do something? And the second question is, well, God, why are you doing that? That doesn't seem to make sense. The Babylonians were worse than the Jews. How can a holy God take an unholy people and punish the Israelites like that? He said it does not make sense. They're an impure people. He also says they're immoral people. That's found in verses 14 and 15. And then he says they're idolatrous people in verses 16 and 17. He said these are terrible, ungodly people. So he said, I have a burden, and you're going to send the Babylonians? It just doesn't seem to make sense. You ever been there? It just doesn't seem to make sense. I got a burden, and I see all that's happening, and it just doesn't seem to make sense. It's almost like somebody saying, you know what, I know I'm not the best person in the world, but I try to serve God, I know God, and you look around and you say, you know, I lost my job, and here's this ungodly person who works down the hallway, and they got a promotion. Or you look at it and you say, you know, here's my godly mother. She served God all of her life, and she got cancer, and she died. And here's some other godless woman who lives just down the street, and she just got back her doctor's report, and she got a good report. It just doesn't seem to make sense, does it? It doesn't seem to be fair. And that's whenever you began to ask the question that probably some people who have been asking in the world that we're living in today, God, what's going on? What's going on? I don't understand all of this. And he begins to complain, and that's what we do as well sometimes, let's just be honest. And then Habakkuk comes and he says to us, I'm going to say this verse over and over again this morning. Whenever all those things come and they don't seem to make sense to us, remember what Habakkuk said? He said, the just shall live by faith. There's a burden. The burden of faith. All of us who are God's people, all of us have burdens that we carry, and we need to take them to the Lord and ask God whatever it is that we're wanting Him to do, and understanding that God may have a plan that's different than what our thinking might be. So that brings us to really the heart of the message. After we get the burden of faith, we come to chapter 2 and we see the basis of faith. Habakkuk gives his burden to the Lord, and then finally, after he hears what God has to say, when he can't figure it out, he begins to faith it out. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. That is, he said, I'm going to go to my watchtower. I would almost translate that today that Habakkuk says, I'm going to go to my prayer closet. I'm going to go get alone with God. I'm going to go open up my Bible. I'm going to go get down on my knees. I'm going to go and see if I can understand what God is doing. And so he goes, he says, up to his watchtower. What an example for you and for me that whenever there are things that we don't understand, that we need to get alone with God and we need to get quiet and we need to wait. That's what he's saying. And he says in verse 2, he said, and the Lord answered me and said, write. And there's some things that he said to write. He said, write the vision. That is what I've said to you in chapter 1. He said, I want you to write it. I want you to write it plain. He said, I want you to write it on a table. Some people believe that's like a wooden table or tablet or a metal tablet or a stone tablet. He said, I want you to write it down so that everybody can see it, understand it, and write it plain. He also says in verse 2, make it public. He said, make it visible for all to see. Let it be like a billboard so that everybody sees what's going to happen. And then also he says, write it permanent. He said, wait for it because it will come to pass. And so whenever you write it for everybody to see, you write it permanent for everybody to see, there will come a day, then everybody will come back and look at that and say, oh yeah, now I remember what God said he was going to do, and now I remember it. So he said, write it. Write what I'm saying. And then he comes to the heart of the text. Listen carefully. He then tells him the way to victory. Whenever you read these words, these six words, the just shall live by faith. Those words, they're like the foundation of Christian faith. They're words, if you'll listen carefully, that will help you to get through the most difficult days that you ever had. He said, this is what I'm saying. He said, God says to him, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk said that first. It's quoted three times in your New Testament. You might want to read these and just study these. It's also found, as I mentioned earlier, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, when it was written by the Apostle Paul. That's the verse that Martin Luther read, Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It's also written down in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Many of you know that was also a book that was written by the Apostle Paul. And so there it's again, it says, the just shall live by faith. And finally, it's also found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38. Isn't it amazing that here is an Old Testament minor prophet who writes down six words? It comes up three times in your New Testament, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, all of them saying the same thing, the just shall live by faith. Why is that verse so important? I think the reason why that verse is so important is because of the way it breaks down, the just shall live by faith. Maybe I just should have spent my whole sermon this morning talking about that, because the just speaks of salvation. That's how somebody gets saved. Other place said you can use the word righteous. To be just means to be right with God. It speaks of salvation. The only people who are just are those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you have been declared righteous before God. You are just. But if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what you have done, you're not just, you're not righteous. Yesterday afternoon, I preached a sermon message when Paul said, I am now ready to depart. And I said to that congregation yesterday afternoon, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're not ready to depart. The only way that you can ever be ready, the only way that you can ever know that heaven's your home, is by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. That's bottom line stuff, folks. That's where it all begins. Don't get hung up on all the other stuff that maybe you don't understand. You have to understand this, that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Placing your faith in him. The just speaks of salvation. So the first question I have to ask you this morning is, have you placed your faith in Christ? Are you a part of the just? I'm not talking about are you perfect. I'm talking about do you know Jesus as your Savior? And if you do, then remember this. The just, he says, shall live. And the shall live speaks of service. Listen to me. The just speaks of salvation. Shall live speaks of service. Shall live. Listen carefully what I'm going to say to you. If you are just, you will live differently. You will act differently. You will talk differently. You will behave differently. There is no such thing as you're in your Bible as placing your faith in Jesus Christ and then living the same old way that you've always lived. That's not biblical, folks. Whenever Jesus comes in on the inside, he's always reflected on the outside. And so what he's saying to us is if you have salvation, it will show up in your service, in your life, and the way that you do and the way that you think. The just speaks of salvation, shall live speaks of service by faith. Listen, that speaks of stability. Stability by faith. Faith is what gives you strength in troubling times. Faith is what enables you to go on in difficult times. Faith is what helps you in whatever you're going through today, right now. And so that's so important for the day that we're living in. The just shall live by faith. That's in contrast to those who have no faith in God, who do not know him as their Savior. But the Bible says those of us who do, the scripture says, the just shall live by faith. How do you handle a global pandemic? The just shall live by faith. How do you handle the loss of your job? The just shall live by faith. How do you handle the loss of a loved one or a family member or a friend? The just shall live by faith. How do you handle when the doctor's report comes back bad? The just shall live by faith. How do you handle, well, you fill in the blank, whatever you want to, all right? How do you handle that? The just shall live by faith. But here's what you need to understand. Your faith always need to be based upon the Word of God. Biblical faith is what I'm talking to you about. So whenever difficult times come in, I'm asking you a question today. What do you do? Where do you go when difficult times come? Who do you talk to when difficult times come? Where do you go? Do you go to the medicine cabinet? I don't even know if people still have medicine cabinets these days, but that used to be where people would kept all their medicine, in the medicine cabinet. Do you go and find that medicine or whatever it might be to help you to cope with that? Where do you go? Do you go to the liquor store? I hope not, because you'll not find help in the bottom of a brown bag. But many people today, when they don't know where to go, that's what they do. Do you turn on your television set to see what's being said? I hope you're not. That's going to throw you in a deeper hole than you're already in. And so where do you go? I'm going to tell you, listen, if you're a child of God, the just shall live by faith, where do you go? You go to this book right here. You go to the Word of God and you read what the Word of God has to say. Maybe the best advice that I could give you during a global pandemic is this. Turn off your television, turn off your computer, turn off your cell phone, and open up your Bible and read what God has to say. That's where we get it. That's why, you know, when people look at you and say, well, how are you doing? Man, listen, I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in the Word of God. The just shall live by faith. So whenever you see what's happening to Habakkuk, he begins in chapter 1 with a burden, right? He's got this burden. All these problems going on and unanswered prayer and sin and everything. And then God tells him, said, now here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send the Babylonians and things aren't going to get better. Things are going to get worse. And so then God gives him the basis of his faith. And the basis to get through it is the just shall live by faith. One last thing. And that is, we also find not only the burden of faith and the basis of faith, but we also find the blessing of faith. Before I go to that, can I rewind just a minute? I'll give you a testimony, just a personal testimony. Some of you know this story, some of you do not. But in 2004, December of 2004, our daughter had a hemorrhage in her brain. And she was placed on life support. And we didn't know if she'd live or die. My wife and I went down to the waiting room near the emergency room in the hospital. This would have been a good story to tell last week, because in that waiting room was a Gideon Bible. And we opened up the Bible. I'm saying this to say to you today, your faith must be based on the Word of God. And we opened up the Gideon Bible, and we turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and we read these words in our time of difficulty. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. That could not have come at a better moment. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I just say to you today, when your burdens are heavy, rest your heart on the pillow of God's Word. Now let me get back to where I was. All right, the last point is the blessing of faith. It's found in chapter 3. And the reason why I said to you earlier that his name means that embraced of God, that I think early on he's not embracing God's plan, but now he's embracing God's plan, because the last chapter of Habakkuk is a psalm. He's a singing preacher. He starts singing. Y'all know me. I like to sing from time to time if the crowd's big enough. Although the text says it's a prayer that's set to music, because at the close of it, he writes, "To the chief singer on my stringed instruments." John Phillips says in his commentary, it's a hymn, it's an anthem of praise. And so here's this, listen to this, folks, this is so good, because he begins with a burden, and by the time you get to the end of it, he's singing a song. I want to submit to you today that the Habakkuk of chapter 1 is a different man than the Habakkuk of chapter 3. It's my goal today that whoever you were when you walked in today at 10:45, that you'll be different when you walk out at 12 o'clock today, because Habakkuk in chapter 1, he's asking. In chapter 3, he's affirming. In chapter 1, he's confused. And in chapter 3, he's confident. In chapter 1, he's troubled. In chapter 3, he's trusting. In chapter 1, he's sobbing. And in chapter 3, he's singing. He's a different man, because the just shall live by faith. So what happens in chapter 3? There's first of all the request for God's mercy. Habakkuk is aware. Verse 2, he says, "I have heard thy speech." I have heard what you said. What did God say? God said, "I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans." He said, "I heard that." Habakkuk was, he was afraid when he heard that. In chapter 3, verse 16, when he heard that, listen to what he said. "When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in my cell." You get the picture? He said, whenever I heard what you said, he said, all of a sudden, my knees began to knock. He said, my lips began to quiver, my teeth are chattering, all those things that are going on. And then verse 2, he begins to ask, and he says to God, he said, "God, in wrath, remember mercy." May I say this to you today? In his wrath, God always remembers mercy. You go back to Noah's day. God was in his wrath, remembered mercy by providing Noah with an ark. He remembered mercy in Joshua's day, because before the walled city of Jericho, before those walls fell, he allowed a scarlet thread to be hung in the window. There he provided mercy. He remembered mercy in the Lord Jesus' day, even, because the Bible says whenever he went to the cross of Calvary, he died for your sin and for mine. That's why the songwriter said mercy there was great and grace was free. There my burdened heart found liberty, he said, at Calvary. That's where that happened. So what he's saying is, God, in your wrath, remember mercy. And that's exactly what God did. If I had the time today, we could spend a whole lot of time beginning in verse 3 and going through verse 16 of chapter 3. Just scan it for just a moment. I'm not going to go through all of it. But in verse 3, he talked about the meeting, God's meeting with Moses on Mount Sinai. In verse 4, he talks about God leading Israel out of Egypt. In verse 5, he talks about God sending the plagues upon the Egyptians. In verse 8, he talks about the parting of the Red Sea and the Jordan River. In verses 9 and 10, he talks about the victories that were won in Canaan. In verses 11 and 12, he talks about the sun standing still during the days of Joshua. In verses 13 through 15, he talks about how David defeated Goliath. I'm going to tell you, it was troubling days, and he's trying to encourage his prophet, whom the Bible says he was shaken whenever he heard that report. And what God did was, God opened up the Bible, and he took Habakkuk on a journey through the Word of God and just said, look what I did here, 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 look what I did here. And all through that, God was using the Word of God to increase his faith. I'm saying this to you today. In troubling days, you need the Word of God. That's what you need more than anything. The old song said, in times like these, we need the Bible. Listen, friend, I know sometimes whenever you are troubled, I don't know where you go, what you go to, but I'm gonna tell you, friend, you need to go to the Word of God. Don't go to music, sometimes it's shallow. Don't listen to all the sermons, sometimes they're shallow. But whenever you open up your Word of God, you don't need somebody to come with you with some kind of a Christian cliche. You don't need somebody to speak to you in Christianese and giving you little words that don't help, but you need to hear David say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You need to hear Jesus say, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You need to hear Paul say, but all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. You need to hear what John said. He said, I saw a throne set in heaven, and one was seated on that throne. You need the Word of God. The just shall live by faith. So after he did that little Bible study through Habakkuk, y'all pray for me, I'm out of breath. He was a resolved man. Look at verses 17 and 18. I don't have time to talk about all this. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Because this is so good. Listen to this. Verse 17, I'm almost through. Listen to what he said. He said, although, just underline that word, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet, stop right there. He said, if you want a picture of devastation, you look at verse 17. There's no food in the field, which means there's no food on the table. There's no sheep in their pens. There's no cattle in their stalls. And then he says in verse 18, yet. What he was saying was, I want to tell you all these circumstances that have gone on in my life. But he said, what he's saying is, yet that is not going to rob me of my joy in serving God. In spite of all that, he's not oblivious to it. He's much aware of it. But he said, it's not going to bother me. Yet, so he's a resolved man. Look at verse, the latter part of verse 18. He's a rejoicing man. In verse 18, he said, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. I'm glad I'm a Baptist right now, because whenever I read these words in the Hebrew, that word rejoice literally means to jump for joy. It means he's jumping up and down for joy. And then the word joy is a word that means to spin around because of a violent emotion. So, I mean, here, you get the picture, do you not? Here's Habakkuk. He's having a spell, if you will, right? I mean, he's having a religious fit. He's jumping up and down, and he's spinning around. Why is he doing that? Because he's the God of my salvation, and I believe that the just shall live by faith. And then finally, listen, don't miss this. He's a revived man in verse 19. In verse 19, he says, "The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet and make me walk on high places." A hind is a deer. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. It is a female deer. And what he's talking about the female deer who can go up a mountain and climb up into high places. You know why the female deer can do that? Is because her back feet track exactly where her front feet were. And it allows her to go up into high places that are hard to get to places. And what Habakkuk said was, I have like hinds feet. The idea is my feet are tracking in God's feet. And so because I'm tracking after God, I can go on to high places. How did he do that? The just shall live by faith. We're living in difficult days. That's not news to you. The last words penned by the Apostle Paul, he wrote to a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy, and he said to Timothy, he said, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." That word perilous, there's a Greek word that means difficult times. It can mean dangerous times. It can mean hard to bear times. Anybody hear what I'm saying today? In the last days, perilous times shall come. These are perilous times. They're difficult times. A global pandemic. Unrest in Afghanistan. Our friends in Haiti recovering from an earthquake. And here we are in Florida, headed toward hurricane season, the heart of hurricane season. These are difficult times. Cyber attacks, economic fear, everywhere you look, trouble. What are you going to do? I'm going to make a suggestion. The just shall live by faith. That's what you do. Make sure you're just. You've been saved. Make sure you're living in your service, following after the Lord, acting different, behaving different because of your faith in Christ. And you're going to find the stability in God's word to be able to stand. You'll have stability that other people don't have. So I'm going to say to you today, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to do it today. You do not have a promise of tomorrow. I said yesterday in that funeral that if we have learned anything from this global pandemic, that is we have learned the frailty of human life. You can be here today and gone tomorrow. You can be well today and sick tomorrow. Any of us in this room. That's why the Bible has never said be saved tomorrow. It's never been said be saved next week. It's always been said be saved today. You do not know what another day might bring. There's no better day to give your heart to Jesus Christ than this day, right here, right now. So I'm going to say to you today, if you're a man, a woman, young person, boy or girl, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then today you ought to say, today is my day to give my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. And these difficult days, I want to be a part of the just who live by faith. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Father, today, right now, please speak to our hearts. Father, I know in this room there are folks that come with a burden. Some of them have a burden because they don't know you. They don't have peace in their heart about where they're going to spend eternity. And there are some of them today who are eaten up with fear. But God, I know that Jesus Christ is the answer. And so, Lord, I pray that there be some today who would come and say, today I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. Maybe they've thought about it a long time. Maybe today's the first day they've thought about it. It doesn't really matter. But God, I pray today that today would be somebody's day of salvation. Father, in this room today, there are some who know you, and yet they're living in fear as well. And God, I pray that we will put our feet firmly upon the Word of God. And may we have great faith in you because you're a great God. And so, Lord, may we understand that you're working out your plan. We may not understand it all. We may not even like it all. But we love you. We believe in you. And so, God, I pray that you will remove fear and you'll replace it with faith. And, God, you'll give us a resolve to stand in these days that are so difficult. And, Lord, help us to make an impact upon those who are around us. And, Lord, I pray that whenever we leave this building here in a few minutes, that resonate in the heart of every person who's here, that they'll be saying over and over again, today and the days to come, the just shall live by faith. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.